Well, good morning. This is State Representative Tony Kurtz, and I'm very honored to take over the radio station here at WRJC on Now 92.1. And I've got two wonderful guests with me today. I have Mauston Area Ambulance Director Chris Leopold and Sergeant Jessica
Zellish.
From the Mauston Area Ambulance Director. I just want to talk a little bit about all the things that are going on with the ambulance service, because you guys have had a pretty remarkable year. But first of all, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I have been in EMS since 1989. And from there,
I was five.
Yeah.
Well, he looks his age. But anyway, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Started in the New Lisbon area, and then by the time I went up the ranks, there was not paramedic groups locally, so my choices were Marshfield, La Crosse, or Madison, and I chose to go up to La Crosse, and I worked up there most of my career, but I lived here, so I know the interstate pretty well, but I worked there most of my career, and then one day my wife said, Mauston Area Ambulance is going to be having paramedics. And I obviously was distraught because I could not believe that was ever going to happen in rural America. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 weeks later, she showed me the ad and she said, you better apply because our kids are almost graduating. You need to be home more.
Yep.
So I applied and came back and worked on the streets for a year. Our previous service director then in January turned in his resignation. And I applied for the position. Didn't want to, wasn't interested in it. But my brother had made a comment to me, if you don't, who will?
And that
kind of resonated with me. And, I applied and got the position. We were in dire straits. The organization was operating in the red. We had a very basic paramedic program that was just starting there. So there needed to be work on not only getting that core group up to speed where we needed to be, but also we had to focus on the administrative side to get out of the hole. And that's about it. It's kind of where we went. And then this last January 1st, we started operating up in the northern area. We're in the Nacita Public Safety Building. So I put stats together quite a while ago.
So we're going to get to that.
Okay.
But I want to give Jessica an opportunity to...
Yes.
Introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Jessica. I'm here as the boss's left-hand woman.
Right or left now?
It's left because my right doesn't work. I've been working for Mauston Ambulance since 2003. Started out as a basic EMT, worked my way up to paramedic. I am now critical care.
Oh, wow.
Boss has gifted me with a sergeant's position, so now I'm one of the supervisors there as well. Learned a lot from, all of the people that have worked there, have now been able to help out with, some of the expansion stuff and, learning a lot more. I kind of do all the procurement for the service, help the boss with payroll occasionally, things like that. I try and help out where I can and, be on the streets when I can, helping the patients. I really kind of enjoy that. So that's why I kind of stick around. This is my community. I live here.
Is that why you kind of got started in the beginning?
I've always been in the medical field, and when I moved up here, I stayed home to raise my kids for quite a while. And then once my husband would come home, I was like, I need to get out of the house and do something. And so I started with EMS, and that was back in the day when we used to take call from home and carry a pager on our pocket. And it's progressed from that to, very wonderful full-time positions and, having people right there at the station all the time and being able to run out the door and, save lives and help people.
So, and you are so excited about talking about the expansion.
Real excited.
Yep.
Basically, all of the northern part of Juneau County now is a territory that your service, and why, what happened there, what came about, and then how's it going so far?
We started... Since I came back from La Crosse, we had 11 municipalities. Well, we had 10, and then we went up to 11 municipalities. And then all of last year, we were reached out from the group that was in the Western Territory and the Northern Territory. They reached out to us to see whether we would provide EMS, paramedic level care, to them. And so we had several meetings throughout the year, and then they voted on it, decided they wanted to come on board with us. In January 1, we moved into the station up in Nisida, and now we provide care for 20 municipalities plus the prison. So we've grown.
Yeah, doubled our service area.
553 square miles we cover now.
Wow.
So, and we've got two trucks down at our central station in Mauston, and then we have one truck right now up in the northern area in Nisida. We're hoping January 1 of 2025, we add another truck up there full time. So we'll have two trucks to the north, two trucks to the south. So
Jessica, just for our listeners, they may not realize, I mean, I think everybody knows when they call 911, they expect someone to be there. Yep. And unfortunately, there's some parts of our state, believe it or not, where you could call 911, and unfortunately, due to lack of staffing, lack of resources, someone may not show up.
Correct.
Fortunately, you know, we're not at that point here in our wonderful area. But give me an example of some of the calls, just a typical day, because some people might not understand some of the calls that you get. I mean, obviously, maybe a vehicle accident, but
Definitely, of course, we have the interstate that, you know, runs through a good chunk of our service area. So we do get, you know, quite a few car accidents from there. Car accidents on the back roads. Accidents happen. You know, you could be at home and fall out of your truck and break your leg. Luckily, you know, we can get a truck out the door and, you know, help fix that. We have a lot of hunters that are up in this area. So we've had quite a few hunting accidents, whether it be, you know, a crossbow or, you know, an accidental gunshot or somebody that maybe just fell out of their tree stand. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of those. We also have some very sick, you know, people around the area. And so we've had, you know, people that have had, you know, massive heart attacks. So a lot of times our constituents will ask about all the helicopters that they see. And we have a great working relationship with our helicopter EMS unit. So we'll get people from like MedFlight or Gunderson Air that will come down and help us out and take our, you know, patients that are having a heart attack and need to get to the cath lab right now. Yeah. They'll take them up, you know, to their cath labs or their level one trauma centers, or, you know, sometimes we get some pretty significant respiratory, you know, patients, and, you know, we may have to like intubate them or do some mm-hmm. pretty critical skills. And we're able to hand off, you know, get our patient care done, assess our patients appropriately, provide that treatment, you know, get that treatment plan going for them, and then pass them on to the appropriate people and see really good outcomes from that. So, it's been really rewarding, and that's why, you know, I really love doing this job and why I've stayed in it for so long. You know, the business aspect, I can appreciate the boss put a lot of legwork when he first started into getting the service where it needed to be, and he has held us as providers to some pretty high standards. Mm-hmm. And you know, he has the consistent quality care is kind of what he's phrased it, and expects all of his providers to live up to that expectation and provide really great care to our constituents. And I think we do that.
I know one thing I know, obviously being a very heavily agricultural community, I mean, just some of the horrific farm accidents that you've had to respond to over the years, because many of those, it's everything from something in a grain elevator to a tractor mm-hmm. rollover. Yep. I mean, just a tremendous job, and having you in the community to be there literally saves people's lives. Those critical seconds make a big difference. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break for a moment. We're going to come right back and talk a little bit about some of the issues that are facing you. Well, hello, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz on WRJC Now 92.1, and I'm joined again by Chris Leopold and Jessica Zelish.
Zelish.
Zelish, doggone it.
We'll get you.
And we were talking about the importance of EMS and the expansion that you guys did, but we talked briefly about some of the headwinds moving forward in EMS. So why don't you kind of explain a little bit more about some of the difficulties we're having in EMS, and not only in our region, but also the state.
Yeah. Nationwide, actually, we have a shortage with EMTs, folks that want to get into the business. And we struggled here, in reading, you can see it's a national issue. So we've done something a little bit different in Mauston. We were trying to hire just paramedics, bringing them in as paramedics, but it's so hard to draw them to this area. They want to go to the big city and do their thing first, and eventually we might get them. So what we've done is we start them out as EMTs, hire them here as EMTs, and then we've been putting them through the schooling. last year we put one through, and that was a success, huge mm-hmm. success. He works for us today. Best thing we ever did.
Great paramedic.
And that helped sell it to our ambulance commission. And therefore, every year we're going to try to at least put one person. Mm-hmm. I would like to get to a point where we're funding for two EMTs going through the paramedic schooling. But that has really helped us grow our group internally. And it seems like if we can get them here as EMTs, most of them are from this area, so they have ties to the community, and that's another huge plus. They already know the area, and it's just teaching them the skills. Mm-hmm. So
obviously staffing, and then what's some other big
funding? Funding is a big
deal.
So why
did you say that with such eyes glaring at me?
Because I've heard through the state that there's some big funding things happening with our funding assistance program is going to be increased significantly. And then there's a consolidation funding. You can maybe help me out with exactly what that is. But and I've heard those two things. And every time I bring it up to our ambulance commission, who are our constituents, they're all about it because it's less money out of their pocket when it comes to our annual budget. So
the funding assistance program that you talked about, it's interesting. Over the years, when I first got elected, that was actually underfunded. It was supposed to be funded at $2.2 million. But if a lot of people remember during the recession, you know, in 2010, some things were cut. That was one of the programs that were cut, along with a lot of programs. So one thing I'm very proud that Senator Mark Lyon and I actually got done is that funding was like at $1.6 million, and we got it back up to $2.2 million.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This last session, to your point, with the shared revenue bill that, you know, I know I've talked about with Murph quite a bit on the air, we moved that funding assistance program from 2.2 to $25 million, and also expand some of the things that EMS providers can buy and use in your departments, because as you talked about, Chris and Jessica, there is a need for funding that. You know, it's interesting. I had an EMS director and I had a fire chief a couple of years ago tell me, he says, it seems like all I am is a fundraiser. Because, and we're very fortunate in our communities, is the community really does step up.
They really do.
They do.
And, you know, you support have, a, you know, I think you do the night at Culver's, or, you know, they match. And all our communities around the area does that to help with fire and EMS. Well, I think it behooves us on the state. We need to pick up our game as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you saw such a big increase that we did from 2.2 up to 25 million.
Yep.
Yeah, that was huge.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, and some of the training aspects, you know, one of the things that Senator Mark Lyon and I are also looking at is a bill that would allow that we, the state, would partner with you to help pay for that training when someone, because correct me on how much is that training?
Back years ago, I mean, it was right around $8,000.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's got to be, how much is it now?
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
8 to 10 probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and our equipment, look around, everything is going up.
Yeah.
Our ambulances, when I got into the industry, was a typical ambulance was 100 to 150,000. Now it's 200,000 to 300,000. Mm-hmm. Everything is basically doubled. Our pharmaceuticals are a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get them, the cost is expensive, but just trying to get them is been a huge problem since COVID.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing I will hear from, you know, our wonderful constituents is, you know, why can't they use this, or why can't they use that? One thing I think, and you can talk about that, is, I mean, a lot of that stuff has shelf lives on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the medications to even the gloves you use.
Yes.
I know, as silly as it sounds, you know, as a farmer, I'm like, why am I going to throw that away? But you could actually get in trouble.
Absolutely.
And so let me just kind of talk about some of the things that we might.
And it's silly things, you know, we even, and from, you know, back in the EMS level, right. You know, when we're doing our monthly teardowns and we're going through all of our trucks and looking for expired items, you know, we try and stay up on that stuff. Everything has a shelf life. Everything has an expiration date. Packaging for a piece of gauze has an expiration date. And of course, we have to pull those off the truck because the state, they come in here and they would see something like that. And, you know, we would get in trouble for that as well. So, you know, and it could just be the breakdown of the paper. It could be, you know, breakdown of plastic. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're doing things to keep our people healthy. And when we're, you know, using it on our constituents that might be sick or injured, you know, we don't want to, you know, end up, you know, having some long-term effect, right. You know, by keeping expired items on our truck. So yeah, there is definitely a rotating cost for those items. And those items are definitely going up in price over the last couple of years. And like I said, I do a lot of the procurement. So it has been a huge increase. Obviously, you know, everything's kind of come up in price and it's been harder to get things than others. And some companies, you know, focused from, you know, the normal medications that they were doing to, you know, getting the vaccine for COVID, you know, so they stopped making the normal meds they did. So that made it more difficult for us to obtain those meds. And then as people were getting sicker and respiratory illnesses were sky high, they were using a lot of our respiratory medications. Well, the hospitals would get those before we would. So, you know, we ran into a lot of problems. So we were trying to, you know, problem solve a lot of that as well. And, you know, I just was sitting in my office ordering supplies the other day and had to order some epinephrine. And I was like, good Lord, it's $600 for, you know, it prices have definitely gone up and we have definitely seen that. And it has definitely put some pressure on us as a system.
You know, it's interesting as I go around our beautiful area, I talk to various people and I ask them about the cost. And to your point, you know, obviously, you know, last year costs went up. I think everybody saw it, but now you're continually seeing costs go up. And I think from what I've been being told, it's, you know, last year, you know, it was a lot of the commodity prices we were seeing increases
yes.
on. Well, also during that time a year ago was labor costs went
yes.
up. Well, now those goods that we're all buying, the labor costs are associated with those
yep.
increases. And yep. I think more so now I'm hearing more people complain about that, about just the cost increases. So
if it's not one thing, it's another.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And to your point about the trucks, I mean, there's also making sure those trucks are up to mm-hmm. speed because, you know, the last thing you want is a dilapidated ambulance leaving at 2 a.m. in the morning. We're going to take a little break for a moment. We're going to come right back and talk a little bit about some of the issues that are facing you to,
yep.
to a call.
So I want to talk about the truck just a little bit. Yeah. Our ambulances, typically new, 200,000 to 300,000. And we keep them, our 911 trucks we keep for typically 8 years. That's when the mileage and in time with the ambulance unit itself times out. And so we are putting money aside every year
Good.
Towards the trucks. What we've found is now we're doing remounts. This is something that I brought down from when I worked in La Crosse. So now we're taking that same truck, taking it back to, we utilize Foster Coach down in Illinois, and they take the box off, completely strip it down to bare metal and repaint it, go through all the interior, replace the floor, any of the cushions that are ripped, and they put it on a brand new chassis. And we're saving a significant amount
Absolutely.
Of money. So that's just one of the cost-saving things that we're trying to do to get ahead of this game.
So how many EMTs, paramedics, do you currently have?
We have fully staffed right now, we have 22. That's our part-time and full, I'm sorry, that 22 full-timers and part-time, we have roughly two or three, I think right now we've kind of narrowed down on the part-time mm-hmm. staff because most of our shifts are full-time. If we move forward with an additional truck next year, we're going to be looking at 28. Mm-hmm. So adding six more people
right.
to a truck.
So if somebody's listening and they say, you know what? Who wouldn't mind being an EMT?
Call
www.mostonems.org. Our application's out there. Fill it out. You can print it off and fill it out, send it to us in the mail, or fill it out right online, and we'll get it. We would love to have you on board. We have a really good system. We are doing things that bigger cities aren't doing. And we see the same stuff they do in the big cities for those young ones that want to jump on. It's just our volume is a little bit lower than what you would see in the big cities, but we see the same stuff. Yeah. I would put our medics, and I've said this, people are going to be sick of hearing it, but I've told our commission, I would put any of our paramedics toe-to-toe with Madison Fire, La Crosse Fire, any of those medics. We do a good job. We really do. The folks in this community are so lucky to have the level of service that is being provided here in Juneau County.
Well, I appreciate what you do. And not only can they, you know, do your, say it one more time, www what?
MaustinEMS.org.
But they can go to your
right to our website.
Yeah. Also, sometimes I see you sitting out by festival buying groceries for your your shifts.
Absolutely. Yep.
To our be crews. Honest, that's one of the things that is a big deal for us. We consider ourselves a big family at Boston Ambulance. And the one thing that we really try to do is have supper together as a group. It's, and of course, it's difficult depending on when calls and transfers come in. But we really try very hard to get a meal together and try to sit down as a family and eat a dinner together.
Well, what a wonderful, I mean, first building camaraderie. You know, hearing from one another, the good, the bad, the ugly, airing differences and what worked and what different. That's
our little dysfunctional family.
Yes, a little. But, you know, Jessica, to really your point, though, that those little small things mean a lot to people. And it's interesting when you talk to people that might be dissatisfied with a job, it may not necessarily be the money, believe it or not.
Nope.
A lot of it is just knowing that I'm appreciated and I'm valued and part of the organization. And those little things like that, the sharing a meal together, for a lot of folks, that's a big deal.
And what this county has to offer is huge with the lake. There's so many things and so many opportunities here in Juneau County. And to get those folks just to come up here, do a ride along with us and see day-to-day life in at Boston EMS is huge. They get a taste of what we do and they get a taste of what this community is about.
Absolutely. So.
And who we are. Brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Well, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz with WRJC 92.1 FM. I took over the radio station. I'm going to be shortly joined by a wonderful gentleman, a person that needs no introduction, but our former governor, Governor Tommy Thompson. Well, thank you so much for being on air with me.
Thank you, Tony.
And when I get to take over the radio station again, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Murph's out, Tony's in.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you very much. Once again, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz, WRJC, now 92.1, and we'll be back momentarily.